Hello and welcome to the official Scottish Rugby podcast together with the Royal Bank of Scotland.
Whoa. Settle down.
Oh, I'm Jamie back. Is back.
4 weeks off.
4 weeks.
I wouldn't say
wow.
4 weeks, but I'm back here on the official Scottish Rugby podcast.
And why were you off?
Well, let me tell you. We had a baby.
You had a
baby. I didn't have a baby. My wife had a baby.
Yep.
But we've been up to our knees in nappies for the past 4 weeks, but it's been brilliant. But you guys know having kids, it's...
How is young Theo?
He's good, yeah, he's good, he's doing well. It's weird though being back because you're with him for 4 weeks and you come back in and you're kind of back into a routine, because when you have a baby there's no routine, you just kind of go with the flow. But discovered morning TV, that's a fascinating world, although it really frustrates me, morning TV, because they only work 4 days a week, Monday, Thursday, and the Friday they get a day off, right? So watching Lorraine, you know.
Oh, you're up early though.
Right? I know, but I'm watching Lorraine, right, on a Friday. It's not hosted by Lorraine, it's by Christine. But the show's called Lorraine.
You really have been off far too long.
I know.
I think I got maybe a day and a half off when I had the first kid.
I was at training and I got a phone call saying I'm going into labour. So I drove back. She had the burn and I was back at training the next day. It was right. Middle of Six Nations.
Same time.
Right, you better do the official welcome and don't mess it up.
Mossy, no, you've been telling me that you've been doing it.
No, we've been slick. Let's move over to you.
I was good at it.
Let's hear it. No. I want to hear. I won't recreate it.
No, the worry is if I do it, there's no reason for you to be here, so you do it.
But the worry is if you do it, people will switch.
Hello and welcome to the official Scottish Rugby podcast together with Royal Bank of Scotland.
Excellent.
Wasn't it excellent?
I'll give you some feedback after, right, but it was good stuff. Anyway, how you boys been? Anyway, you've been well? You've enjoyed the past couple of weeks?
Busy working.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much have you missed me? Has it been a bit of a chore doing this without me? You know, I know it'll bring a lot of joy to your lives, but...
That's no cut out, just nobody's answering. Of course we've missed you.
Yeah, there was no issue. It sounded there, wise.
I hear that you haven't addressed the elephant in the room of me not being here. So, I mean, no doubt a few fans will be questioning where I've been, and there's been no updates. So.
To be honest, Mossy and I didn't notice, so I don't think anybody else did.
Well, nah, of course we missed you.
It's good to be back. Good to be back. But let's
great to hear
good
that you
know all
well.
As well.
Yep, all good, all good. But I'm very happy to be back and chatting about rugby again. Now, France, obviously, doing really well in this Six Nations campaign, playing some really good rugby. Scotland's got a win in Italy, maybe still haven't kicked on as much as they'd hope. But, gents, let's just look ahead to this weekend's fixture with France.
We talked a bit about Italy last week and how well Scotland had done to get that win. We also talked about the French rugby. You know, that's going to be a different challenge. Physically, the biggest, most brutal team in the tournament. Against Wales, they were brilliant for 60 minutes or so. They brought, it was talked about in commentary as well, it's brought in an enormous energy to that game, but then drifted off a wee bit. So France's challenge is to try and make sure they do that for 80 minutes. And I generally think, Mossy, the biggest thing from a Scotland point of view is to front up physically, which is easier said than done against a team of that size.
Yeah, that's a prerequisite every time, isn't it? And in some strange manner, it's often easier or seems easier to do that at home than it is away.
Yeah.
The French, I think they've always had that level of physicality. They've always been so big and powerful, but they've never held the intensity really for as long as they are at the moment.
Yep.
They're open a few games, and that's down to a number of reasons. The obvious one is probably Sean Edwards and the time that he spends on defence and intensity he brings. He'll probably get more minutes per week than other defence coaches, because he's so influential and he'll influence the whole thing. So that kind of creates an intensity that runs through in their attack as well, because they are just that intense. But also they've had so much success as a team, and the majority of them as a team through the under-20s in the last 2 or 3 years, that they're used to winning together, playing together, and they add that physicality. I mean, their front five and the work rate of their front five has been incredible over the last 3 games. Can we match it? Of course we can. Of course we can. It's a prerequisite that you're at that level, and I think it's important to, we will match it, but it's important to almost go at a team's heart as well. So the harder you can go at their physicality and intensity than early on in the game, then it should, you know, be a double-edged sword. It should hurt them and it should benefit us.
And that drop-off, if we do have the ability to control the game, which I'm sure we will, that makes it harder and harder to keep that intensity up as well. If France are having to do things they don't want to do, they want to come here and play their game plan, which is, you know, beat us up at the breakdown, and they play some great rugby. Dupont at nine has been probably the player of the tournament so far, not only with his own ability, but the ability he has to bring others into the game as well. But that's all based on the forward pack on the front foot.
A good kind of indication of what how they've changed would be the last, well, we'll say the last play, it was about the last 6 or 7 minutes of the first half when they played away in Wales and Cardiff under all sorts of pressure, and they didn't crack, they didn't let Wales cross the line. 2 or 3 penalty in a row, France opted to take a scrum, kept chipping away, and France didn't. Now, a French team, no matter how talented and how good in the past, would probably have broken at that point, because, you know, Wales were full on as well, but that was a real kind of sign of how hard they are to break down. But they've started all their games really quickly, France, and I think that's the target, should be a target for us this weekend, to make sure they don't, and we start quickly.
Could be a story of defensive coaches. Scotland's defence coach Steve Tandy's doing pretty well, only 2 tries, went over to Italy and didn't leak any points at all, and Sean Edwards, everybody's talking about Sean Edwards' effect with the French team. He seems to have put in a, to your point, Moshe, put in a mindset already. The ability's always been there, but put in a mindset which is taking them forward. So it'll be an interesting game.
Just on the defensive side of things, when you look at the Six Nations stats, so France have actually missed 67 tackles in the tournament so far. Scotland have only missed 34. Are you surprised by that?
I think Scotland are playing a safer game this year as well. Like, Steve Tandy's made a huge improvement in terms of defence, and I think Scotland have also changed slightly how they've played. You need to look into how much possession the teams have had as well. France actually kick more than any other team, so, you know, I don't know what their percentage possession is, but I think the reason that is when they do play France, it is quite high risk. So if it's fast and loose and they are kicking attacking kicks and trying to get the ball back, or if the opposition win them, it's harder to be in a defensive structure, so it's quite reactive, so you probably miss more tackles that the more open you are. But it'll be interesting to see where those tackles come from.
Probably got to look at the England game as well, so you don't miss many tackles. Now, that's a positive start for Scotland, but you don't miss many tackles when you can't make more than 2 passes in a game, and the conditions in that game meant it was up front rugby. Well, the vast majority,
wasn't it that much better here against England?
That's what I mean, though. No. I'm talking about that England game.
All right, sorry, I think you meant the France-England game.
No, sorry, Scotland-England game. You don't miss many tackles, so the conditions like that favour the defence, never favour the attack.
It was open in the Cardiff, though, the France-Wales one.
Yeah, you know, there was a time in the game where France were kind of way ahead, Wales came right back into it, and I think, you know, so there is obviously... there's parts of France's game that you can exploit. And I mean, take it back to BT Murfield here. I don't think France have won here in the Six Nations since 2014, so it is difficult for them to come here. I believe 2016 we won, and then 2 years ago we won again, so we've got a good track record here, but I guess it depends. Are you laughing at my maths there?
I'm just laughing at the fact that there's no one here since 2014 and we won in 2016, 2018.
I'm
good to underline a point.
Well, it might have been
a draw. It could have been a draw, to be fair to him.
I wasn't going to go with that line, but that's brilliant. It could have been a draw. And summer
test. Edit that, make it look as if that was your reply.
Exactly, yes.
We beat them in the summer test, didn't we? So
we've got a good track record here, but it's always going to be a tough game against the French.
Yeah, they're the favourites, aren't they? The only team that can win the Grand Slam. But, you know, I've said I say it every time, anyone can beat anyone, and especially in the Six Nations, and especially here at home. I would expect Scotland to really apply a huge pressure, and hopefully after that a pressure release in some ways of winning in Rome, and the performance wasn't really what you know everybody would have hoped for, but the result was, so with that pressure release in terms of having a win, I think it can definitely make us stronger.
We've got a forecast. Does anybody know weather going to be alright?
I'll have a look right now.
Mostly can do it live.
I do like your weather.
I'd like it to be story. I'd like it to be good. I'd like it to be dry and give us the ability to play. I think that it seems funny with the way French play as well, but I think that the poorer the conditions, I think favour France.
Light rain and a moderate breeze. Oh, that's in the morning. It's going to get a wee bit better in the afternoon, apparently.
You've got a job in this, you're good at
this. I like geography at school, and my favourite bit was the weather.
Yeah.
Are you checking Saturday or Sunday just so I can...
That was Sunday, Jamie.
I'm just checking because it gets me
that's
every
when the
time.
Game is. The game's on Sunday, Jamie. No, it's don't you turn up at 3 p.m. on Saturday going that way. There's everybody with your camera. There's nothing here to film.
Yeah, there is. Captain's Run.
That's in the moment.
As we mentioned before, a big game this weekend. Do you think there'll be a change... an attack for us this weekend, and maybe the selection or the style of play?
I wouldn't change anything. I was pleased that we kept a reasonably consistent team for that Italy game, we talked about it last week. The interesting one, what we'll do between Stuart McInally and Fraser Brown. Fraser's done well. Stuart McInally's come back in. Now, is he coming back in picked on form of the first two games, or is he coming back in to spread that workload and give him a bit of rugby? So that'll be interesting to see what he does there. Bentulis came in. For me, Bentulis played well. Two clean line-out steals, and ran that defensive line-out very well. Sam Skinner's come back in, so a wee bit more competition in there. But
Lewis Carmichael in the squad as well.
Lewis Carmichael in the squad. So there's conversations clearly the coaches will be having. From me, externally looking in, I don't think I would change anybody. Mossy, you?
Well, I think what you have to do is look at what France will pose. We spoke about their physicality earlier on, and I think the team that was picked to face Italy was expecting Italy to do exactly what they did, which was play an open game. Franco Smith, we spoke about again a couple of weeks ago, how they've almost tried to transform how they're playing. And I think that team was picked to face a wide open, expansive Italian style of play. And I think he maybe would make changes, because I don't think they can do that, but their primary, you know, I suppose strength is their physicality and their size. So I think he'd maybe look to make one or two changes. I'm not sure where. Obviously the players played for Edmund Glasgow last week in Excel, so there's another opportunity for the coaches to see them playing and hitting form. But yeah, I think the old adage, don't change a winning team's one thing, but I think nowadays, I think you're almost, as we said, you've got a much deeper squad, and you're almost into that horses for courses scenario where what you expect from France is different to what we expected from Italy, so you maybe would make one or two changes accordingly.
Well, when you look at that, and we talked about Fraser Brown and Stuart McInally, does Fraser Brown bring you a wee bit more physicality? He's a bit more straight up and down than Stuart is. So,
I mean, with those two, you've got two brilliant players. It's a toss of the coin, really. You could easily make a case for either to have as big an impact off the bench or as big an impact at the start. They both fall into that category, absolutely. But I'm not sure. Would you need a bit more bulk up front?
Good. I mean, Grant Gilchrist obviously coming onto the bench for the Italian game. I mean, he is as physical a second row as we'll have, as big a second row as we'll have. So he'll be in the mix. Back row wise, I thought back row were very good against Italy. Mm-hmm. So it'd be difficult to make changes in there. But then Matt Fagerson's come back, and he's grabbed that space. Now, has he done enough to now get a starting jersey? There's a few conversations to be had. I agree with Chris as far as what you're saying about picking a team to play against the opposition that's put in front of you, but at the same time, I think building, Gregor talked momentum. About confidence, he talked about pressure being off, and the momentum, so I would personally like to see it reasonably settled. I'm sure it will be reasonably settled, but there might be one or two in there.
And just a reminder, this is a Sunday game, so team announcement for Scotland will be this Friday. I'm going to pull up a game just now that you might remember, 2011, France versus Scotland. Why would I bring that game up in particular for you, Al?
For me, that was the first time I led Scotland on at the park as captain. And I scored a try.
That was where I was going, you scored a try.
2011.
Now, Mossy, you weren't playing because you were injured in Wales in the Six Nations. Before that, 2010, you had your injury.
No, I wasn't playing because I was rubbish. Wasn't it picked?
I don't know, because you were out. So if that you were, that was
oh dear.
That was that. It was that 2010 game against Wales. Yeah. You had the injury, and you were, but you must have been out for 9 months.
I was back playing, but just wasn't picked. I came in for the third game in that tournament against Ireland. I think I missed the first two.
Back to you, Al. So
that was away though, wasn't it?
Away in France.
No, I was 24th or man, whatever it was at that point. Grumpy.
Al, your first.
Me and Scott McLeod were the extra players that day.
There you go.
Scott was quite happy to be there, and that was his grumpiest sin.
I don't remember.
But Al, your first try for Scotland. I mean, your debut for
say
Scotland.
You say first try.
First and only
you
try.
You set yourself up, but it's your only try for Scotland.
But your debut was when?
So it was your last one as well?
2004, I think. Ooh. That was your last try. Well, so far.
7 years for your first try. Was that in your mind as a player? Did you want to get in the score, or were you not fussed?
No, I didn't. All I wanted to do was get the ball and give it to guys like Mossy so he could score tries.
So humble. And Mossy, your first try for Scotland was in your debut, was it not?
No. No, I was.
Oh my goodness, you're having a shocker today.
You've been up for
4 weeks. You've had to prepare for this podcast.
My first. It was my
debut.
Seventh or eighth cap.
Nah,
in New Zealand away.
Defined debut. Yeah,
defined debut, though. Was it first home game?
What?
No.
I'm trying to find an angle for when you get your first tries. Who was it against?
New Spain. Zealand.
That's what I thought, yeah. Was it in Spain? No.
Was it the first time you played New Zealand?
No, it's the first time I've ever played the game.
There you go.
It wasn't, it was the second time I'd played New Zealand. It's no working, Jamie.
There's one thing I wanted to chat to you about, because I know that you've spoken to Hoggy directly about this. There was an Instagram post that went up last night, him reflecting on some rugby memes that have been going around, and you've spoken to Hoggy about it. He's mentioned it in social media. I think we need to address it. There's clearly a bit of a disdain there towards the negativity that some of the players are perhaps getting on social media, but you've spoken to him. What's his take on this?
Reading it last night, he's obviously the thing is everybody's a journalist now, so where it's Instagram and there's a photo put up and there's however many hundreds or even thousands of comments that go underneath it, not all of them are going to be positive. Now, Augie's obviously picked up there's a decent amount of negativity floating around, and he's made a couple of high profile mistakes, but his point was, and I complete 100% behind it, it's about being positive. You know, if there's tough things to be said, say them, but let's not be negative for the sake of being negative. I've done a bit in the past. We've probably talked about it on here in the past as well, where there's a, in society now, at times people like to just find fault. Now, that's not everybody. It's probably a loud minority, as opposed to the majority of Scotland fans who are, putting out the positive stuff. But sometimes, from a player's point of view, clearly Stuart was talking about this, it can have an effect. You can read what somebody might think is a throwaway comment, and when you're in the intensity of a Six Nations, it can have an effect. So what he's asking for is let's focus on the good stuff. If we need to talk about the bad stuff, fine, deal with it. But let's focus on and try and get as much positivity into it as possible. I get it. I completely get it. From our point of view, Mossy, when we were playing, and I know you're not into social media or anti-social media, as you call it, but it was less in your face, I think. Sometimes it was directly in your face, going right back to when you played games. When I was playing at Allan Glen's, if you'd played badly, then it was directly in your face, because it was one of the guys that had played before you, putting his finger in your face when you're at the bar after the game. And then it moved on to forums, and you actually, as a player, you had to go and look for it. And some guys did go and look for it, like Kelly Brown, Kevin Tkachuk, both played at Glasgow. They used to go and read these things, every single word of them, which was fine, as long as they could deal with it. But the bad point, Kelly in particular, Kelly used to then come and tell you if they were saying bad things about you. Have you seen what it said in the forum? I said, no, I don't read it. And then because he's told you, you'd go and read it. They would be saying some bad things about me.
It's an unhealthy habit to get into.
Yeah, I think it is. I think that, there's people whose opinion, you value every opinion, and everybody has a right to their opinion, but the point being now that the guys are so much closer, it's a brilliant thing. I generally disagree with Mossy on some of this social media stuff, because it gives you an interaction with the players that you would never have had before, but there's a huge amount of negativity to it as well if you're not careful. So you've just got to get that balance right. And to sum it up, I think what we're looking for is, when good things happen, let's shout and scream about it. Let's make as much noise as we can about those positive things, and if something needs called out, then we do it, but then we move on.
Earlier on, there was some Pro 14 action at the weekend between Glasgow and Edinburgh. Edinburgh firing in all cylinders at the moment, top of Conference B on 47 points. Glasgow didn't do too well against Leinster away from home. Start with Edinburgh first, Mossy, though. They're doing well.
Yeah, I was here Friday night, and it wasn't the greatest game. I think there'll be frustrations as to the level of performance, but absolute delight with the fact that it was another victory. Three wins in a row there against tough opposition in that wee mini period that was after the break and then before a 2 weeks break, I think, this coming in the next 2 weeks, and just cementing the place at the top of Conference B, as you say, very difficult to beat, even when they're not playing as best as they can. I thought Cardiff did really well. They had a lot of kind of adversity to overcome, with players injured, players away with Wales, players getting injured in the warm up. I think Mulvihill said that the Cardiff Blues coach said there was like four people injured in the team run, and then there was someone else pulled out during the warm up. I mean, it was proper was guys getting their first game, academy players for Cardiff, and they did. They dug in really well.
They started well, did they not? I mean, I was flicking between the two matches.
Yeah, they probably deserved that. The late penalty for Simon Hickey denied them with a bonus point, and if you were being fair, they probably deserved for what they put into the game a losing bonus point. But Edinburgh, yeah, again, one try from George Taylor, charged down try, and then penalties, and they're just so... They're so efficient, Edinburgh. I genuinely can't see them being beaten all too often, if at all, because their set piece is good, their defence is excellent, they make good decisions, they've got a great attack if they want to, they can attack tight, they can attack wide, they're just clearly understanding what they're trying to do
and what it is,
and it's efficient.
It's efficient because they're winning. The best thing about them at the moment for me is that they're winning in different ways. So whatever's needing done in a game, they're doing.
Yep.
It's not like they're going in with one set game plan and it's coming unstuck. They're going in and being able to adapt throughout the game. And from what I saw of the game and from listening to you guys sum it up on the night, Cardiff started well. Like Cardiff were unlucky not to be ahead at half time, but Edinburgh then went on and controlled the second half to the point that they got the victory.
Yeah, it's important as well because Munster are second place in Conference B. They got a 5-point victory against Scarlets. So, you know, Edinburgh just keeping ahead. Munster, I say, are setting 2 points behind, but really important for Edinburgh. And yeah, just doing really well. Two weekends without a game. And they've got the European quarterfinal coming up as well after that break. So they're in a good shape.
With the Pro 14 as well, you look at the run they've got coming up, you know, 21st of March, they're off to South Africa to face the Kings, followed by the Cheetahs, and they've got Bennington at home, and they've kind of got, you know, Ulster at home, Ospreys at home, sorry, Ulster away, Munster at home. Now that Munster game at home on the 9th of May is going to be huge. Now you look at the league table at the moment, isn't it, because there's only a few points between the two.
Yeah, Edinburgh, I think going to South Africa and playing two games over there, are they both, so the Kings in South Africa as well, is it two games back to back?
Yeah.
Well, that's hard, different environment. But I just see them so strong at home that I think their home form will be good enough to keep them in the playoffs, absolutely. And if they can pick up wins on the road, which they're capable of, I can see them topping that conference.
Yep.
Gents, wasn't the same story for Glasgow, unfortunately, over at the RDS. Disappointing result, but how good are Leinster at the moment?
Oh, they were very, very good. Glasgow would have gone there with a decent amount of hope. It was a good team that was out there, but... Real impressive Leinster, direct running, hard running off nine, and timing it brilliantly just meant that they seemed to get front football, if not every phase, just about every phase. They'd wrapped the bonus point up by half time, and they came out, and as Leinster have got a tendency to do, and we've seen over the years, they kept going. Mm-hmm. There was no easing off. I've got to be honest, when I say I was switching between the games, it was at the point where I thought, oh dear, it's when I switched over and started watching to see how Edinburgh were getting on, because it wasn't pretty, and Dave Rennie won't be happy. You know, there's, like, Leinster are fine, but like, Glasgow are still looking to win this. Like, Glasgow will still at this stage be talking about winning this Pro 14. They had a phenomenal final against Leinster last season. It could have gone either way. When you're on the back of 55 points, you've then got to make sure that you react the right way. And I'll go back to, I remember going over to Leinster, I think it was the first year that we made the playoffs, and we were handed not a dissimilar scoreline against them, but used it as a catalyst to change and to make sure that the remainder of the season was better, because there'll be a lot of Glasgow players who were involved in that result who will be feeling fairly bad about themselves. Now it's all about reacting in the right way.
Yeah, I think what was important as well is the domain third in Conference A, so 2 points ahead of Cheetahs. Cheetahs lost narrowly kind of late on to the Dragons, so that was really important. That was the only positive really from the weekend, the fact that, you know, the Cheetahs stayed behind them in the table. And, you know, Leinster are so strong, and one of the reasons I think they keep the foot on the gas, even when the game's clearly won, is because they're so... competitive for the position. That probably, well, it isn't Leinster's full side, because it's without a lot of internationals.
Yep.
And there's even guys in there who, was it Baird, the second row, scored a hat trick?
Scored a hat trick. I mean,
phenomenal,
one of his tries.
Athleticism.
It was unbelievable.
Like you and your prime mal running in for 60.
Similar. He rounded George Horn and then finished it off under the post. And I mean, it could have been a winger that was running it in. He's, what, how old is he? He's
He was just one of his first starts.
He's a young kid. So
they've got that thirst and that drive to improve, but there's a competitive edge to it, like where it's probably, it's disrespectful to say it's their seconds, it's probably their 2.5s. They've got such a depth of squad, and their first and their seconds, I remember Gregor saying this, Gregor Downsend saying this, that they would be in the top, was it 10 teams in Europe, I thought? Maybe the kind of, what you'd assume is Leinster's first and second. So you could have two teams in the top 10 or top 5 best teams in Europe. And their academy players underneath that are coming in. It's a brilliant kind of example of success and succession planning. But it looked a bit loose towards the end. It'll frustrate Glasgow, it'd frustrate me, because some of the tries looked soft and avoidable. I know you're trying to force a game and get something from it, but it's one that, as Al says, it's the kind of measure of that game is how you react to it, not the fact that it's been and gone. It's what comes next.
Yeah, I mean, Glasgow lost the game line. There wasn't the first up tackling was just not physical enough, and as soon as Leinster got over the game line, they're carving up all over the place. Like, they've got runners in the back through who come looking for the ball, so it's not like the guys like Lowe is just a threat when he's out in the wing. He's coming in and he's searching for the ball, and he's getting his hands free, and he's offloading to second rows. And yeah, I mean, they're playing some good rugby at the moment. They've got to be favourites looking ahead, but we'll see how Glasgow react, and it doesn't take away from the fact that there's an awful lot of rugby still to be played.
Yeah, indeed. Ospreys away for Glasgow next, followed by Ulster at home.
Glasgow have got Ulster twice, home and away in the final few games, and Ulster in second place in the table. So that, that's a goal, I think, to try and, if you turned Ulster over twice, you could climb up that league. Never mind trying to cement a third place. I think you can go for second.
Yeah, the point is well made, that Glasgow are still in a pretty good place, still in those playoff positions. It's the emotional impact that a loss like that potentially has, but Dave Rennie's experience enough to be able to get the guys to bounce back.
Well, see, last week saw the last regular round of fixtures in the Fosrock Super 6. Just talk us through some of the results of the weekend.
Yeah, well, it was, as you say, the final round, and you wanted a clear picture of the table, but the Watsonians Southern Knights game was postponed, so that'll need to be replayed, which will still have a knock-on effect, obviously, in the finishing positions. But Stirling got a good win. It was against Birmingham Bears, 36-34. That was inside at Orium. High scoring, quite a high error game as well. I didn't see it all, but I was speaking to one or two guys this morning who were involved, and were kind of frustrated at the number of errors. I think Stirling dropped the ball over the line a couple of times in the first half, and certainly exciting, certainly a lot of good things, but quite error strewn in some ways. And then Heriot's got a good win at home against Ayrshire Bulls yesterday. So table as it stands, that win put Heriot at top 34, Watsonians 32, Bulls 28, Knights 25. So with Watsonians and Knights still to play, that'll have a knock-on effect on what the semi-finals are.
So there's a bit of rugby still to be played in the Fosrock Super 6, but the finals day has been announced and tickets are on sale now. It's the 28th of March, 7:20 kick-off at Scotstoun Stadium. So we've got a bit of water going to bridge, see who's in that game, but I'm sure it'll be a fantastic
affair. Once the top four settled, you get the semi-finals, and then home advantage will be crucial. But form will be important as well. Obviously, Southern Knights games were postponed, but they'd won four in a row. Watsonians have been strong at home, so we'll see how that falls, and that'll determine who plays who.
And to catch up on all things Fosrock Super 6, just head over to scottishrugby.org. Again, another huge weekend of rugby here in Scotland. We have the under-20s playing at Gala on Friday night. We have Scotland Women playing on Saturday at Scotstoun, plus the international fixture here at BT Murrayfield. 20s and women looking to get their campaign up and running a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, the women, obviously off the back of the game being cancelled over in Italy, a long time since they've had a game. It's been a tough Six Nations for both the 20s and the women. The 20s, we talked about the fact they need to use a springboard. That was a great result against Italy. Uses a springboard in exactly the same way as the men's team do. But I think as much as anything, it's get out and support, get down to the games and cheer them on. It makes a massive difference, and there will be good competitive games of rugby.
Yeah, 20s, good win, wasn't it, in Italy, as you say, Al, and because of the bonus points in the previous fixtures. They're actually joint, they're fourth on the table, but on equal points with France on 7 points. Ireland top the under-20s table, England second, and then France and Scotland both in seven. So it's a proper head-to-head, and it'd be great to see Scotland, who have been successful at Gala at the under-20s, in the previous year, so to get off to a good start against French as well and pick up another victory.
Now, speaking of the Scotland under-20s, this week we caught up with the captain, Rory Darge, as he looks ahead to this weekend's match.
Oh, it was really tough. Italy were physical and we obviously came back from being a couple of tries down. It was sort of the last 10 minutes that we took the lead, so it was a bit of a battle, but we're obviously delighted to have got the win. So just after the game, we sort of got in a huddle, and the main sort of message we were saying was like, we don't want it to have the attitude that it was a relief to have won. Like, oh, I think, you know, we want to then sort of be a turning point. So we want to now go on and obviously win the next two games. It's been a privilege, and it sort of just made it better because obviously missing last year with injury was quite tough, sort of watching the boys. So when Sean asked me, I was delighted. The big wins that you look 2 years ago, obviously beating England at Merseyside, and this year beating Italy, have both been massive. And obviously World Cup 2 years ago when we beat Ireland. So I just say like winning games is probably the best feeling that you can have playing for Scotland under-20s. It's really competitive this season. So there's not been any games that, you know, we've been walked all over. We've walked all over any other teams. It's all been really competitive. And I've actually missed a couple of games just through injury with the Southern Knights. But for the games that I have played, we weren't that happy with how we started the season. But now the boys are getting a bit of form, so looks like we're in the playoffs and potentially want to put our hands to win it. So.
And not only that, we have Old Glory DC continuing a good run so far in the MLR. They've played four, won three. So good to see them doing so well and currently fourth on the table.
Yeah, I've been sharing a few messages back and forth with Pumps. He's enjoying himself over there, clearly on the back of some success as well. So it's great to see them doing so well. As part of our ongoing partnership with Royal Bank, we caught up with Hamish Watson in a deep dive into what makes him tick both financially and...
What a quick fire.
Yeah, they were quick fire, Mossy.
This is worth listening to. This is good.
Quick fire round, Hamish, if you will. Play when it's hot or it's cold. Quick fire, man.
Well,
it's multiple choice.
Yeah, I know. Would you rather play? It's tough, man. Like, if we're talking Japan hot, like that humid, sweaty hot, or are we talking nice 19-degree, 18-degree hot?
We're talking hot or cold.
Nah, cold. As long as it's not raining.
Cold.
Cold with no rain.
Right. So this is quick fire. You got this, okay? Play home or away.
Home, always.
Good. Well, early bird or night owl?
Or a bit of both.
Okay.
I used to be always a night owl.
Right.
Always stay late gaming and could get up early and function. But, you know, now I've had a daughter, I'm more of an early bird. Bit of a, so early bird maybe now. we'll try one word.
I would go with that.
No, you're fine. This is good. Well, spend or save?
Oh, well, again, I used to be a big spender, and like on stupid stuff, you know, and
stuff you didn't need.
Yeah, just like bought a few cars, which was a bit silly. In my
few
youth.
Cars,
not at the same time.
Oh, right, okay,
not at the same time. But then now I've got a wife and a daughter, and you're getting a bit older. You have to look to the future a bit more. So I'm probably a bit more of a saver now. But you've also got to spend money to make money, you know, Al.
Nice. No, very good. Weights or cardio?
Weights and cardio.
CrossFit.
Yeah, CrossFit guy.
CrossFit, okay. Good one. Legs or arms? Or another part?
Arms. Yeah.
Arms, there you go.
Has anyone said legs to that?
Mish is the first one we've done.
Good answer.
Carbs or protein?
Carbs.
Be sure protein. You've got the balance. I'm asking questions now. No, wait a minute. Stop. Coffee or tea?
Coffee. That's tough.
Which one would you, if you had to give one up, which one would you want to keep? Well, you were not allowed another cup of coffee or another cup of tea.
Probably tea, but that hurts giving up.
Mine would definitely be tea. Mm. Neeps or tatties?
Tatties.
Forwards or backs? How's that difficult?
You're a back.
Because I sometimes think that I should have been a centre sometimes.
You're just too slow.
It's not too late. It's a back.
No, I love playing in the back row. But just, I don't like mauls. But that's a conversation for another day.
It's a back. That's a back written all over it.
Pre-match, psyched up or relaxed?
A bit of both, maybe.
Yeah, no, I'm relaxed.
Soaked up, relaxed guy.
Yeah, I'm relaxed right up until kickoff, and then these are quickfire. Sorry, I'm relaxed.
Sorry, we've changed it. It's not quickfire anymore.
I know you just questioned
quickfire at all. Did we get an answer?
Sorry, relaxed. Yeah, I'm chilled.
Box set or night out?
What are we doing on the night out? Depends what we're doing.
Good question.
Watching
a box set, but just knowing your house.
Like we go a night out on like a Tuesday night where we're just going to go to the restaurant.
I'll ask it again, right? Box set or night out?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Night out. But only if my wife's with me.
Of course. Salt and vinegar or salt and sauce?
Salt and vinegar. Salt and sauce.
Oh, see, you said you don't need to answer the previous one, and then you've just said salt and vinegar to that one.
That's a West Coast thing. Yeah. East Coast salt and sauce.
Salt and sauce in East Coast.
I like salt and vinegar.
Oh, Glasgow boy. furthest you've travelled for a game?
I'm not sure.
Japan?
Yeah, Japan. Oh,
New Zealand and Australia would be further, no?
I don't know if he's been there.
Oh, no, I have, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Most prized rugby possession.
These are quite open-ended questions because I didn't know whether you meant like on a bus or like actual like the furthest you've gone to a game.
Oh, I do. Walk, is that a question? You can decide how you answer.
Oh, okay, yeah, fair enough.
Favorite cheat meal?
Pizza probably, but I have pizza every day, so it's not really a cheat meal.
Pizza cheap.
Right, Mish. Thanks for that quick fire.
Well, there you go. Quick fire question.
25 minutes in.
Don't forget the application window for the Royal Bank Rugby Force is now open. To be in with a chance to win practical and financial support to kickstart your club season, search Royal Bank Rugby Force. That's all from us here on the official Scottish Rugby podcast, together with the Royal Bank of Scotland. We'll be back next week with more exclusive content.